Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Spirit and the swirling wind, hear my prayer. Breathe the life on water's fire, earth and air. Are you a child crying? Son of the sun, spirit and the stones and wheat and the deep. And so when life fades, I can join your joy in thought. Oh, let me walk and wonder until my sunset. Then harvest me with your corn.
That was Prayer to the Wind from the opera Love, Ted, composed by A. Paul Johnson, who is our guest today. Let's get right back to our discussion with A. Paul. I wanted to ask you, because two things I don't want us to not talk about. One is Love, Ted, and the other is you sort of mentioned something about creative, was it workshops, talks, teachings? So that intrigues me, because as we've talked, I kept thinking to myself, this guy needs to be teaching. He needs to be passing this wisdom on in, you know, seminars or something. So you pick which of those two things you want to talk about first, and then we'll just keep talking.
Let's talk about Love, Ted, because that was a kind of a fascinating journey.
Okay.
And I'll give you the gory details from the ground up. My second wife, Carol, who was so instrumental in the Apollo project, and it was my kind of long marriage in there. We were together almost 20 years, and she was a very creative person too, an actress, and did lyrics for a lot of my songs. And of course, worked with the company. She was the voice of Apollo Project. We had a radio station. She did the announcements and a lot of the advertising for us. But she awoke one night, I think it was in maybe the mid-90s, just terrified and shaking and screaming.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
And of course, you know, awoke me immediately. And first thing came to my mind was, you know, nightmare, nightmare, nightmare. And, you know, can I wake her up or calm her down or whatever? And she just fought and fought for the longest time. And when it finally started to subside, I said, you know, what in the world happened? You know, I'd never heard her have a nightmare like that before. And she said Ted Bundy was sitting on top of her with a knife getting ready to murder her.
Oh, my God.
And she was literally fighting for her life.
Oh, bless her heart.
So
that women's nightmare of a certain age, women of a certain age, that is a valid, I know that feeling. That's a scary,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to, I'm 58 years old. Ted Bundy was in my lifetime. Permanently made me scared of being a woman out there in the world. And boy, raising my daughter was like, always carry your car keys with the keys poking out of your knuckles. And, you know, I mean, just everything. So I get it. I get that. That's terrifying. Well, yeah.
I didn't understand it, but she was now obsessed with Ted Bundy. And like I say, she had been writing a lot of librettos and lyrics for my songs. And she said, we need to write some kind of musical dramatic setting about Ted Bundy.
Wow.
And she did an immense amount of research, read the books. We got to be friends with Anne Rule, wrote The Stranger Beside Me. And her concern was, she said, as long as you guys don't have Ted Bundy in tights dancing across the stage. She said, that I can't stomach. And but I had a hard time warming up to the idea.
It's hard to...
But I stayed with it because it was helping her, I think, expel that fear. We even went out to Seattle, Lake Sammamish, and those areas where Ted's career started, and we walked those places.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually walked, you know, around the house where he lived and the houses of the women he abducted. We had lunch in the places where he ate to try to absorb what...
It's immersive.
Yeah, might have been to create this. And she kept sending me, you know, lyrics and libretto things, and it was terrible, you know. And she was a good writer, but this was terrible. And I said, it's not clicking in. So I used to go down to Argentina and conduct a little chamber orchestra down there for about, I guess, 3 or 4 years in a row. And sometimes we'd record with them. And so I took a couple of the better ideas. You know, the focus was on the women, because what Carol was identifying was that terror.
Right. And you don't want to in any way seem to be celebrating a serial rapist murderer. I mean, that's just not
right. So
you know,
Ted became
It should be about the women.
I want to say an ancillary character, and it was about them and how all of their creativity and beauty and ambitions just got destroyed,
right?
You know, with one fell swoop of the sword.
Right.
So I wrote three arias for the show, and I think we're going to listen to one, two for sopranos and one for tenor. Mm-hmm. And we did them live in South America, and then we recorded them. And I brought them back, and associates who would listen to them and say, "Oh, hi, those are beautiful. You know, where are they from?" I said, "Well, they're from an opera that never happened." I said, "Oh, you got to write the opera. What's it about?" And I would tell them, and they would say, "You got to write it."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So after about 10 years of hearing, "You got to write that opera. You got to write that opera," I had a dream again. Dreamed the whole thing from beginning to end.
Oh my gosh!
And got up that next morning and started composing, and within 6 months, the opera was done.
That is incredible.
And what I tried to do, you know, a lot of art is allegorical. You know, the reality is going to fade, but the mythology mm-hmm. that grows out of that reality can stay with us for generations and generations.
Sure.
So around these four women who we see their lives start to blossom and then get cut short, are two characters. One is, and the prayer to the wind is from this sort of shaman, mm-hmm. earth spirit character, who talks about the trauma that's going into the entire planet, that's mm-hmm. actually going into the earth from these dastardly deeds. And then of course you have Ted, who is the perpetrator of these dastardly deeds with no other reason to do them except he can do them. Now, the typical psychopath.
Yeah.
And observing a lot of the, particularly late 20th century, although the entire 20th century, let's face it, was filled with psychopaths who mass murder was just a drop in the bucket to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now we see the planet itself, the spirit of the planet itself, trying to create this tension with this psychopathic devil that's mm-hmm. at its throat, and how those powers work together amidst this destruction. And I won't give away the end of the opera, but
I think
it's one of the most beautiful moments I've ever written. It's, you know, you say an opera about Ted Bundy and it's the most beautiful thing you ever wrote. Yeah. But
it's about the victims.
They come back. They come back as spirits.
Yeah, and that gives.
And they throw the throttle at the electric chair. Old Sparky.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, now, those spirits are there throwing old Sparky's current on.
As we can only hope, believe, and trust that they were, you know, in my mind.
Yes. Yes.
Just a technical question, not technical, but a specific question. I know the vocals in there are amazing. Can you give me the names? I'll probably edit this little ask out. But
that's Kirk McLeod. And if anyone's ever heard Seven Nations, the Celtic rock band,
yep.
he's their lead singer.
I
orchestrated a lot of Kirk's songs to play with symphony orchestras, and we got to be very good friends. And he was fascinated. He was one of those people that says, "Oh, you got to write this opera."
Yeah, that's okay. And then, are there any other vocalist names you want to give me for any of the audios you sent? I just want to ask that. I'll edit this out. Like, this is just between you and me.
I'm trying to think of what I sent you. What are some of the other titles?
Symphony number 2, IV 4.
That's just
music.
My second symphony. That's
Sophia Dancing in Shalama. The Wind. When Will I Learn? There's a female singing on When Will I Learn, I think.
Yeah, that's Rose West.
That's what I thought, because you had a note in there, conducting with soloist Rose West with the Sophia Hill.
I believe Dancing in the Wind is Laura Sullivan.
Laura.
And
Sullivan. I'm making notes. And Prayer to the Wind is just Kirk, or is there a female on that?
No, there's a little bit of harmony. In
harmony.
The score,
yeah.
In the score, that harmony is sung by the female ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
But Kurt took it back. You know, he also does a lot of recording, mm-hmm. and he put those harmonies in the studio.
Okay. Well, they're just incredible, and I will be using those various things in the intro or somewhere in the parts that we end up with. This is going to be a lot of parts. I'm very excited because we haven't even talked about the creative thing. But so, yeah, I think that writing about anything about Ted Bundy, and you know, it never ends. There's always a new documentary, a new movie, a new, you know, a couple of years ago there was a new movie. There was a documentary I watched recently that was basically the story of his wife, you know. It never ends. And as far as being a woman of a certain age who kind of grew up with that story and was terrified of men in general because of Ted Bundy, and you know, there is a fascination slash horror, and the fascination is horror. It's not, I mean, I'm, you know, I know there are some women out there who become pen pals and romantic and interests with serial killers. I'm not one of them, you know. But I think for most women, it's a cautionary tale kind of fascination. It's this fear fascination of what could happen. And healing out of abusive or bad, horrible situations that you either experience yourself or you almost virtually experience with a Ted Bundy type situation, right, in the culture, is a huge, wonderful part of artistic creativity. And I personally just, I'll edit all this out, but I personally thank you for doing what you did.
I was
going to
say, just for off the book here, just checking. Yeah. How are you doing, Maestro? I just had no idea this was going to last this long.
I know. I'm really sorry.
I just got some.
Okay, I just wanted to thank you for being patient.
Hey, no, it's all good.
I didn't know we were going to talk this long.
This is what happens with me. I just love people. I love talking to artists, and this is just what happens. We just go on and on.
And
believe
this is,
me,
this
a lot
is our
of
morning.
This.
We usually have cigars and chess this morning, and I thought, oh, it'll be a probably 15, 20 minute interview.
I know. I'm such a liar when I tell people 15, 20 minute interview. Sometimes that is the end product, but it's never, yeah. I mean, I think recording wise, I've always gone at least 40 minutes. We've got well beyond that, I don't care, but I'm happy to
join us next time as we continue our conversation with composer A. Paul Johnson.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.